This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We will say that together one more time this morning as part of our call to worship. It's my joy to welcome you to this time of worship together. For those who are joining us online, we're so glad you're with us. And here in the sanctuary, I hope you have enjoyed greeting one another this morning. And I would ask everyone to take just a moment to register your attendance. If you're online, there's a link you can put in your browser there. And if you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads that may even already be being passed down the aisles. And I hope you'll sign in. If you're visiting with us and would like to know a little bit more about our congregation and how we're trying to shine God's loving light in our world, please share an email address or a mailing address with us, or even a phone number, and that will give us a chance to reach out to you and begin a conversation together. Just a few announcements as we gather this morning. This afternoon at 4 o'clock here in the sanctuary, the Vocal Arts Nashville Chorus will be singing Brahms' Requiem, and we invite all to join us for that concert here in person or over live stream. That's at 4 o'clock today. And before we know it, the season of Lent will be upon us. And one of our traditions in this congregation is to celebrate Shrove Tuesday, the night before Lent begins, with jazz mass and pancake supper. So that will be February 21st. And we need RSVPs for that pancake supper. Even though it's free, we want to be able to get enough pancake batter. So you can go on the website to RSVP for the pancake supper on the 21st. Finally, some wonderful news that I was able to share in our Friday e-news this week. We are allowed now to announce that the Reverend Shannon Baxter and his family are moving up here from Savannah, and Shannon will be joining our staff on March 27th as the pastor of Congregational Connection. Your staff parish committee put together a robust search committee. We interviewed lots of folks and prayerfully discerned that Shannon was the right person to join us in our ministry. So we'll be sharing more about him and his family and how we can be supportive of them as they make this transition in their family. But for now, let's keep him and his family in our prayers. This morning, we are diving into the book of Leviticus. So I know everyone here is just waiting to hear what Leviticus has to reveal to us, and there is always something God has to show us through the scriptures. So let us open our hearts and minds to this book, to this time of worship, and to the God who calls us to be here.
Thank you. let us open our hearts on the Sabbath day. Let us seek a right relationship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confessions with the confidence of the children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the prophet found in the book of Leviticus, chapter 16, verses 29 through 34. This shall be a statute to you forever. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall deny yourselves, and you shall do no work, neither the citizen nor the alien who resides among you. For on this day, atonement shall be made for you, to cleanse you. From all your sins you shall be clean before the Lord. It is a Sabbath of complete rest to you, and you shall deny yourselves. It is a statute forever. The priest, who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place, shall make atonement, wearing the linen vestments, the holy vestments. He shall make atonement for the sanctuary. He shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. And he shall make atonement for the priests, for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make atonement for the people of Israel once in the year for all of their sins. And Moses did as the Lord had commanded him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children who are here in the sanctuary to come and join me up here if you'd like. And since this rail is closed for communion, that means we've got to go around this way and come up and join me over here. And if you're worshiping online, just come a little closer to your screens. I love seeing the pictures that people send me of their kids worshiping on live stream and sitting up close for this time together. So come on up. Hello again. Good morning, good morning. Have a seat. Come on up. So glad to see all of you. Well, we got some ice this week, but we didn't get any snow to play in, did we? Oh, well. Maybe we'll have one more shot at getting some snow. Come on up.
And then we'll be Christmas Day.
And then it'll feel like Christmas Day, won't it? That's exactly right. Snow makes it feel like Christmas again.
That's right.
Well, welcome, everyone. I want to tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a little boy named Thomas, and he went over to his best friend Henry's house. They played together a lot. And Henry had some really cool monster truck toys. Some of them made really cool noises. They had big wheels, and they just loved playing with the monster trucks together. Well, Thomas was playing with one of those monster trucks, and one of the wheels came off. Now, Henry didn't see that happen because he was in the kitchen getting a snack, a healthy snack, an apple. And so Thomas just kind of set the truck aside, and he didn't say anything to Henry. Henry didn't notice, and they kept playing, and then Thomas went home. A couple days later, they saw each other at school, and Henry said, "I'm really sad because one of my monster trucks is broken. I don't know what happened. I think it was my baby sister." And Thomas thought, "Oh, I don't feel very good about this. Maybe I should tell him," but he was kind of ashamed of himself, and so he didn't say anything. But that night when he went to bed, he couldn't go to sleep. His tummy hurt a little bit. He was so worried about it. And so he decided the next day he was going to tell Henry. So he went to school the next day, and when they were on the playground about to play kickball, Thomas took Henry aside and said, "Henry, I need to confess something. I need to tell you something. I was the one who broke the wheel off your monster truck. I didn't mean to. I'm really sorry." And Henry said, "Well, that's okay. My mom fixed it, so it's all okay now. But I'm glad you told me, because I thought you were acting a little weird. So now that I know, it's all okay." And they hugged each other and went to play kickball together. Sometimes if we've done something wrong or something we feel bad about, we want to keep it a secret and hold it in. And sometimes, especially if it's with a friend, it kind of gets in the way of our friendship. They can tell something's wrong. And it's important for us to say, "Here's the truth," and be honest, and confess if we've done something. And that helps the friendship be better. We've just learned about a story in the Bible where God is telling the people, "It's okay to tell me if you've done something wrong, because I love you no matter what, and it'll make us closer if you do." Let's pray together. Gracious God, sometimes it's hard to admit when we've done something wrong. We'd really rather keep it a secret sometimes, but it's hard to hold on to, and it doesn't make us feel very good. So help us to be honest with the people we trust and we love, and admit when we've done something, and know that we can be forgiven, and everything will be made right. Thank you for loving us and forgiving us always. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie.
I'm 3 or 5.
Great. Well, you can go with Pastor Maggie. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with friends.
I'm 3.
You're 3. Perfect. You're 4? Good. Uh-oh. A little old for Children's Church, but you can go back and sit with your family. Are you going to Children's Church? No? Do you want to just sit? On Friday, I found out that we have 177 people who have signed up to read the Bible together this year. Isn't that wonderful? We had hoped for 150, and we have 177 so far who have signed up. And I know there are a few others who are reading along and just haven't signed up yet. I'm hoping that after this week, we still have 177. I've run into some of you this week and gotten some looks. All right, what is up with Leviticus? How do we interpret this book? How do we read this book? There's so much about the book of Leviticus that feels very strange to us. It feels foreign. It comes from a different moment in time, a different kind of culture, with all of its talk of sacrifices and skin diseases and some of its perspectives on women and sexuality and all of the stuff about clean and unclean foods. And it can be overwhelming and not make a whole lot of sense. And so we could be tempted to say, well, I'm just going to skip over Leviticus and move on to Numbers. Well, Numbers isn't much easier either for us. But I think, as always, we are holding these texts that our ancestors in the faith have passed down to us as sacred. And though we may not take every word literally, we must take it seriously and lean into it and listen for where God might be stirring in these words, in these pages, in these stories for us. So that's what we're going to do together for just a few minutes this morning, is lean into this ancient sacred book and listen for what God might reveal to us in its midst. If you're not reading along, or if perhaps you are reading along but aren't quite sure where we are in the whole arc of the story, in Exodus, the people of Israel, the tribes of Jacob, are enslaved in Egypt. God calls Moses to lead them out of Egypt, to deliver them out of slavery, to usher them through the wilderness until they arrive at the promised land. And so Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, these three books that we're about to launch into, all take place when Israel is on that journey, a journey that ends up taking 40 years. So God, we might think, is using this time to shape the 12 tribes of Israel into a people who can reflect some of who God is to the world, a particular chosen people for a particular role in the world. And so God gives them laws, and God teaches them and guides them along the way. And this book of Leviticus is basically a manual for the priests of the people. There are 12 tribes of Israel. The tribe of Levi is designated to be the priestly tribe. And so they have a handbook. Did you know that we have a handbook too? United Methodist pastors have what we call the United Methodist Book of Worship. And in it are all sorts of guidelines around consecrating communion. It even says things like, the pastor shall lift their hands at this point, or place their hands over the elements. Did you know that after communion, we are supposed to take the wine, the juice, and the bread and treat them in a particular way? The juice should either be drunk or poured into the ground, not put down the drain to go somewhere, but put back into the ground that the earth might reabsorb it. The bread is supposed to be either eaten or sprinkled on the ground for the birds and the animals to consume, not just thrown into the trash and taken to the dump. So as United Methodist pastors, we have a guidebook. And so it was for the Levites, the priests of the people. These are instructions about how to conduct the sacrifices, how to offer forgiveness for people as they come forward for worship, how to lead in worship, what to wear, all of that is in the book of Leviticus. And this text that I've chosen for this morning offers some guidelines around a particular holy day, the Day of Atonement. Now, our Jewish friends still mark this day. They call it Yom Kippur. It usually comes around in the fall, and it is a day somewhat similar to our Ash Wednesday, a day when we gather and confess that we are not all God has created us to be, that we have fallen short, that we have all sinned, we all need grace, we all need forgiveness. And that was what this Day of Atonement was meant to be, once a year for the people to come forward all together and confess their sins before God and have those sins forgiven and removed. So we didn't hear it in the specific text that was written, but in the early parts of chapter 16, the ritual is described. The priest of the people would come to the tent of meeting, Now, at this point, he would have already sacrificed in the tabernacle, the place of worship, on behalf of himself and all of his household, because he too needed forgiveness and cleansing and a new beginning with God. So he would have done that already. Then he comes to the entrance of the tent of meeting with two goats. And he casts lots, rolls the dice, to see which would be goat number one and which would be goat number two. Goat number one would be sacrificed in the tabernacle for the cleansing and forgiveness of the people's sins. There was a theology and an understanding that somehow the flow of blood, the blood of life, was cleansing and renewing and would offer forgiveness. That's a whole nother conversation we can have later. But the other goat, goat number two, had a different role. The priest would spiritually, figuratively gather up all of the sins of all the people that they had confessed together. He would lay his hands on the head of this goat, symbolically laying all of the burdens, all of the failures, all of the sins, all of the mistakes, all of the brokenness of all the people onto this goat. And then the goat would be led into the wilderness and set free. So imagine that you are among the people carrying with you the guilt and shame of things perhaps you've said or done or not done. And with all of the people, you watch as those sins are carried away, forgiven and forgotten, released. And the priest announces to you and to all the people that your sins are forgiven and it is a new day. There's power in that image, in that symbolism, in that ritual. Now, as Christians, we look at this ritual, we look at these practices through the lens of Christ, through the lens of the New Testament. And we have the book of Hebrews, which we'll get to later in the fall. And the writer of Hebrews looks at some of these ancient rituals from the days in the desert with God's people and reinterprets them to say that Jesus, the Christ, is like that goat who takes upon himself all the sins of the world and carries them away. We sometimes hear Jesus referred to as the Passover lamb, a similar image, removing from us as far as the east is from the west, so far does God remove our sins from us. Now, we believe this was done once and for all in Jesus. And so the truth is, we are already forgiven. God has already poured out upon all of us grace upon grace upon grace. And yet, as human beings, we still hold on to things. I myself feel this way, and I've talked with so many of you who feel this way, that it is, I know God forgives me, but I just can't forgive myself. Have you ever felt that way? And I think that's why these kinds of regular practices of confession are good for us. Like the little boy in the story, he needed to tell his friend so that the relationship between them would be clear and open. In the same way, I think we need to confess. We need to name things in God's presence, not so we can earn God's forgiveness and not so God will like us again, but so that we can clear out our hearts to receive once again the forgiveness and grace that is already ours. And so we have these practices. Every Sunday morning, you've probably noticed, when we come into worship, we come in singing God's praises, we have our call to worship, our gathering time, and then we confess together. There's power in confession, and there's power in corporate confession. You may look at that prayer on some Sundays and think, that doesn't really apply to me. But it applies to someone in this body. It implies to us as a people, to our generation. There's power in recognizing that we're all in this together, No sin is better or worse than another. We are all broken and in need of God's grace. And there are powerful moments when the people of God confess together and receive once again the reminder that we're forgiven. So we no longer have the two goats at the entrance to the temple, but we have the bread and we have the cup. And in a few moments, we're going to hear those words of Jesus again when he lifted up the bread and said, "This is my body, broken and given for you in love. And in this cup is my blood, poured out willingly for you, for the forgiveness of sins, for you and for all people." We will all be reminded once again of God's grace that is already offered to us. And so I want to invite you, as I feel invited also by this ancient text, as you come to the table today, if there is something your soul is holding on to, if there's something you feel guilt or shame about, not about who you are, but about something maybe you've done, some words you said you wish you could take back, sometime you remain silent when you wish you had spoken, sometime when an action of yours had consequences and did harm that you didn't intend, or when you took an action and you really did intend harm and now you wish you could take it back. If you feel burdened by the sin of the past, if you feel burdened by the sins of our generation or generations past and you carry it with you, bring it to the table. And just as we can see that goat, that scapegoat, carrying it off into the wilderness, may we trust that Christ takes our burdens away. Thanks be to God.
In the hymnal, we are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your spoken and your silent prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here with us in the sanctuary, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can fill out and place them in the offering plates in a few moments. This morning, our prayers are with Brian Payne and his family, who are mourning the death of his sister-in-law, Amanda Hutchinson Payne, who passed away on January 25th in West Memphis, Arkansas. Services were held there on Saturday, February the 4th. Longtime West End member Gail Jennings Douglas passed away on January 28th in Arkansas. A memorial service will be held at a later date. And finally, our prayers are with Jared, Ashley, Emma, and Avery Smith and their family, who are mourning the death of Jared's father, Rick Smith, who died on Saturday, January 28th. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of grace, you have seen us in all of our brokenness. You have witnessed all of the ways we have fallen short, and yet you still love us. You still desire to be in relationship with us. We give you thanks for your grace offered to us through Jesus Christ, which continually extends an invitation to turn around, to seek healing, to draw closer to you. This morning, we remember those who have not heard or responded to your invitation. For those who are consumed by guilt or shame. For those who hurt others by intention or omission. And for those who choose to ignore your call to live in peace with you and their neighbors. May they be awakened to another way. A way of love and hope and joy. We remember, too, those who suffer this day, those living in pain, and those who are close to death. We remember those who grieve and those who despair. We pray for all who are hungry and those who do not have adequate shelter. And on this day, we especially pray for those who have been victims of violence. Bring healing to their lives and to the lives of their families. O God, lead us in the ways of Jesus. Help us to live our lives in such a way that we reflect your love and grace in all that we do. We ask all of this in his name. Amen. And now let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the rows. May we give with joy this morning to the God who has been so generous with us.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, who walked among us and showed us the way of life. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, broken and given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Holy Spirit, on all who are gathered in this hour, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet.
Will you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen.
People of God, this is the body of Christ that is given to all of us and to all the world, the bread of life. And this is the cup of grace poured out for all, that we might be renewed and restored and reconciled. The table has been set. Our host is Jesus Christ himself. And everyone who is here and everyone who is not here is welcome at the table. In our Methodist tradition, this is a foretaste of the heavenly kingdom. And so all are welcome. This is not the United Methodist table. It is not West End United Methodist table. It is Christ's table. And we hope all will come. If this is your first time receiving communion in our congregation, just a few words of instruction. We will be invited to come down the center aisle if you're sitting in the nave. Our choir will be served first, followed by those in the balcony and transept, and then the rest of us will come down the middle aisle. You'll be invited to kneel at the altar rails. If you'll have your hands open if you have yet to receive the bread and the cup, that will help our servers know that you have yet to be served. After receiving, you're welcome to stay and pray as long as you would like. If you're unable physically to come forward or you would choose not to, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with these individual packets of communion. They are gluten-free, as well as all of our elements are gluten-free. As we come forward, we always have an opportunity to make a gift to the missions of our congregation. And our February communion offering will go to support our youth, who will be doing the 30-hour famine February 24th and 25th. They will be going without food for 30 hours in a way to experience hunger and to raise money and awareness for two different ministries. The local ministry is the villages at Glencliff to help them buy a new kitchen and build a new kitchen and a washer and dryer for their residents. And the second ministry is World Vision to help bring food and clean water to children around the world. So we hope you'll pray for our youth and give generously as you are able. Let us now prepare our hearts and our lives to receive the grace poured into us. Let us leave our burdens at the table and go away free and cleansed and reconciled. body or in spirit and join with me in giving thanks for the grace that we have just received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us go from this place to receive again and again God's grace, to proclaim it to the world, to live it out each and every day. For the world is hungry for grace, and we have the good news to share. Amen.